Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's slightly different main podcast this time because we've rolled the Brady and Cook into it because we played on a Tuesday night. So it's just Sky TV being fucking shit, isn't it? So I am joined tonight by Jay. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, mate. I'm, you know, still alive. That's always a positive.
Good man. And by a very focused looking Luke, who I think is making his live on Instagram. How are you doing, Luke?
Trying. I'm all right.
always worries me when he looks like he's concentrating.
Cool. Right, we'll get into an intro and then we'll get into the game.
Hi, this is Don Matteo and then you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
The utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
So I guess I ought to explain. So this hat was a gift, and I do like it, and it's nice and warm. But really, it was a big pompon on top. Really, it's just a counterpoint, because I am slightly getting the badge in tonight, but I don't want anybody scared, so I've kind of balanced it out.
So you've tried to make yourself look cuddly.
Yeah, that's it.
Like a cuddly thug.
That's exactly it, yeah.
He'll hit you, but then he'll make sure you're all right.
Three more points. So it's a Tuesday night against Stoke. He's usually the trope that's dropped. I know he tends to be at their place, but Tuesday night. Can you sum it up any other way, Jay?
That's about all I've got for you at the moment. You know, that in the intro, that laugh that Carl does, that's kind of how I felt at the final whistle, because I was like, we've won that game and we were awful. I was just nervous throughout. You could feel that in the ground as well. There were tension because another bad result, and that starts to look like a little bit of a slump, doesn't it? Despite the fact we're on this amazing run, it just feels like a downward spiral if you draw against 10 men, then lose your next game at home, doesn't it? But, I mean, we did the
against
job.
Against 10 men.
I know. We did the job. We never really looked in doubt. They had a couple of chances that, you know, made me sort of pay attention a couple of times. But there were nothing from them massively. But I knew it wasn't going to be a great game on the way in because I had Radio Leeds on for a bit and I was listening to Popey and he said, Stoke, they just don't look like they've got a goal in them, do they? And I thought, oh, God, man, why have you said that? Why have you said that? I spent the whole game like looking for this second goal because I had that bet on for Dan James to score, but needed over 1.5 goals. And then, yeah, we were on edge. It was like you couldn't really get into it because we didn't really flow and you just kept worrying. I mean,
I disagree with that. It's certainly in the first half, I thought it was exactly the reaction I expected. You know, we could have been 4-5-0 up at half time.
First half we were great.
But as the game went on later and later at 1-0, you just know that you expect it to be a bit lazy, don't you? Expect, and look, they had their chances in that second half. In fact, they had a couple of decent ones in the first half, but I just felt that reaction, the way we started that game yesterday, was the exact sort of reaction expected off the back of that disappointing point, shall we say, at Huddersfield. But I didn't. I still always felt comfortable. I know I say, I sort of contradict myself slightly there when I say Stoke had a couple of good chances. They did, but all the running was Leeds. Do you know what I mean? They were quite happy to leather that ball out of their half every time we got anywhere near their final third. And you know, their goalkeeper being probably the man of the match speaks volumes, doesn't it? But arguably, I think Meslier was ours, and I know we'll probably come on to man of the matches in a bit, but it's not a good sign when your goalkeeper is arguably your best player as well. So, look, no. First half, absolutely ran and ragged. We could have had some early goals. Dan James, a couple of great chances. Bamford chance. Rutter, arguably a penalty as well in the first half. And a well-taken goal from in fact, it was definitely the hardest of the chances Dan James had, and he buried it. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think I was comfortable. But as you say, the old saying goes, you know, can you do it again? I know it's at Stoke on a cold rainy night, but it was at home. And look, we're 31 out of 33 since the turn of the year, and we've still got a lot of people concerned. And already picking different teams and changing it up and saying Matteo Joseph should be starting and things like that, which, look, I understand people want to have an opinion on it, but why on earth would you put somebody with such limited first-team experience into a Yorkshire derby on a Friday night where they've got to stay up? And I get it. I do get it. But also, I think it's absolutely fucking ludicrous.
Oh, mate, it is, but it won't stop people. Thing is, I totally agree with you on the first half. It looked like a game we were going to boss, and we looked like we'd come to do what we needed to. It's just by the end of it, it felt like a slog. The second half dragged, and for me, it's like the longer you've only got a one-goal cushion, the more worried I get. I can't settle down when that's the case. And even though we don't really concede goals these days, you're still worried like hell that we're going to have some dodgy counter-attack and we're going to screw up, but... You know, like you said, like the first half, everything were right. It's just the second half for me. It just felt like we slowed down and we were labouring a bit. But again, Meslier as well, he did what he needed to do. He made some good saves and he came a couple of times and he caught it. And my heart was in my mouth every time that happened. I was thinking, oh, God. No, that one later on, I think, where their guy were coming for the header and he had to catch it. And I was thinking, oh, Jesus. But he did. Fair play to him. He did everything required of him. He did boot it out of play a few times, but I'll forgive him for that because he caught the ball.
No, I think that's fair. Luke, in terms of the game itself and the starting lineup, so we saw some changes that were made. So Archer Gray, Junior Firpo dropped out of the starting lineup. Do we think that was just purely based on the turnaround of games, looking forward maybe to the ones that he'll want for Wednesday? Not Wednesday night, as in Sheffield Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
Friday for Wednesday.
Is today Wednesday or Thursday? I can't even remember.
Today's Wednesday.
Definitely. Yeah.
So Friday for Wednesday.
Willie Nonto dropped as well.
Oh, Nonto,
if you want to call it dropped. But I think the biggest surprise for me was Archie Gray. I think recently, certainly in the game against Huddersfield, we looked a little bit leggy in midfield. I thought Gruev and Kamara against Huddersfield were relatively ineffective against a team that we expected to sort of shut up shop in Huddersfield. So I expected, actually, given Archie's performance against Chelsea, for Archie to be starting in midfield over one of them, probably over Kamara over the two. But no, I was quite surprised. I did say in my short before the game that I'd like to see Dan James continue his rich vein of form. Coming back from injury, he's looked really sharp. But then again, Nonto's been doing a fantastic job in there. So look, whilst everybody was left out last night, could obviously be a little bit, what's the word? I don't know, downheartened, I suppose. They can also probably see the positives and see the reasons for that. So we've got to take into account, look, we've Archie only played a few minutes. We've got, you know, Nonto didn't play a full game. We rested Cree for a bit as well. So it is about...
Firpo came on late on, didn't he?
Yeah, Firpo came on late on, but it is about we're at the business end of the season now, and this is where I feel, and I've said it all season actually, because the first half of the season he made no changes and he didn't make any rotation or anything, and I said, watch after the Christmas break when legs are tired, that's when we'll need rotation. That's when we'll expect to see players who arguably probably Nonto probably should still be starting. He hasn't done anything worthy being dropped really. Archie Gray the same, and Junior Firpo. I don't think any three of them have done anything catastrophic or anything worthy drop worthy. But look, we are at that business end of the season, and there are going to be some tired legs week in, week out. And it's good to see actually now that Daniel Farke has recognised. I mean, I say recognising that it's not his first rodeo, is it? You know, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, and it's good actually to see that he has followed what I expected. I think is probably the best way of saying it, but I was a little bit surprised because I did also say in my short before the game, I don't expect any changes because it's Daniel Farke, but I would like to see changes. And look, it changed it up. And certainly for that first 45 minutes, it worked.
Yeah. I think it's reasonable to expect that we'll see a revision back to some of those players coming back in that were dropped to the bench. And some of the players that started will drop to the bench, and we'll see some of that rotation going on. Because again, it's a quick turnaround to Friday night, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm probably using dropped a little bit loosely and probably a little bit unfairly harshly.
I think the
Stone Priest here says it is rotation at this stage. Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. Sorry. So yeah, be a little bit disrespectful to say dropped, but yeah, rotation.
It's just first word that comes in it, dropped. You're just like, well, it's not your team's been dropped.
I was used to it as a footballer, mate, and a rugby player. He's used to getting dropped week in, week out.
Me too. Getting me a couple of minutes off at the fucking subs bench and end of game.
No, that's fair. And just to touch on their chances. So the one that sticks out for me, and it happened right in front of me, was a long distance shot, and it were a rasper, and it looked like it were flying in top corner, and it were a really cracking save by Melier. I thought that they were limited in the chances that they had, but the chances that they had, there were one or two that they could have stuck away. You know, some of it were a bit scruffy, a couple of long range efforts. From our standpoint, though, I mean, I said in the chat, Luke, after the game, it looked to me like Dan James could have had an hat trick.
He could have done. Yeah, I mean, I think he was first of all unlucky with his. I think he went round and hit it with his left foot, and it just we all know how shit we are. If we're right footed, we all know what happens when you hit it with your left foot. He basically did that. And then the penalty shout as well. I thought he probably would have scored there if he's not fouled. If he'd have stayed on his feet and the keeper hasn't fouled him, he probably nips around the keeper and just taps that home as well. But he also had another chance from the right hand side as well. So he probably realistically could have had four in that first half for me.
Penalty for me, that definitely. He didn't play the ball, he played the man. Yeah. He played the man.
So I think it's only because the ball stops and Dan James, he's the only one that's kicked it, but he's kicked it into the keeper. I think that's the only way he gets away with it.
Maybe, but I think the ball stops dead, and
it looks like the keeper's made a decent challenge because the ball stops dead. But it's actually his back foot, his trailing foot that stops the ball dead, the keeper. It's a foul. And look,
it's on one knee, like he's going to propose to him.
I hate VAR, but I'd rather one of them go against us in that sort of game than a tough, you know, a game where we potentially draw or God forbid lose. But look, it's one of them, and you get them and you don't. We've had them, we've had a couple of decisions that haven't gone against us this season. They tend to even themselves out over the course of the season, you'd say anyway. So, yeah, look, I'm not losing any sleep about it now. But at the time, I was a little bit like, how the fuck isn't that a penalty? Like,
absolutely. I mean?
The keepers, I've seen it from three views, and the keeper's got the referee has got the better view than any of the cameras. He's literally 10, 15 yards, and it's a direct line. He's got to. There's no players obstructing his view or anything. He should be making that call. But look, it is what it is.
The keeper. Yeah. Covers over the ball, but doesn't have control of it. He's not in possession of it. He's just in the way of it. For me, it's just a foul. And why don't the linos ever say anything?
Yeah, but I never noticed the position of the referee. But if the referee's there, he shouldn't be even looking at any other officials. He's got the emphasis to make the decision. And if he's there and he's got the right position, he's got to do it.
It's a failure on his part, really.
Yeah. No, I would agree. So I
agree with Luke, though, before you go on. Sorry, I agree with Luke. I prefer it this way without VAR. I think we all do, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
They do even themselves out. We'll get one somewhere that we shouldn't get. And that's how it works. That's football for me.
Do you know there's a lot of football fans that, of clubs that we've played against that would say we already have? We'll come on to that.
That could go in shit takes of the week, Gilly. Fucking me.
Well, it's funny you say that, Jay. Jesus Christ. Everyone might as well just pluck out now. There's no point watching the rest of it. Jay's just spoiled. It's like the end of the film. It's like Jay telling you the end of Titanic. You don't ever need to watch the first 3.5 hours now.
Mate, I didn't realise that everyone only tuned in for shit take of the week. Fuck me. If that's all it is, then we might as well just put that on YouTube.
That's the only time they get the fix of Bren, isn't it?
Well,
the only time
true.
To get it.
That's true. And the ladies do love Bren, so with his dulcet tones.
Yeah. So in terms of the starting lineup, then. So if we just touch on one specific player, Connor Roberts, new to the club, has he done enough to keep his place now? Luke, you first.
It depends how we line up against Wednesday. I would like to see. I mean, I don't want to say. I would like to see some additional rotation, shall we say? Not anybody dropped, because I don't think anybody's worthy of being dropped. But I think the centre of the park is looking a bit leggy. I think Gruevan and Kamara have done a fantastic job in there, exceeded all expectations from us based on the early parts of the season when we had Ampa doing great, absolutely bossing the midfield. And they've both come in and done an absolute stellar job. And they have we've had the statistics up on here where Gruev went 3 games with an over 95% passing accuracy, and Kamara almost doing the same as well. But I would like to see Connor Roberts still start. I think he has done enough for me. He offers a lot going forward. Him and Dan James work telepathically, and they just know where each other are. If Connor Roberts gets forward, Dan James sits a little bit deeper. He's obviously got the pace. He's not a right back, but he's got the pace to get back and do Connor Roberts' work. But I would like to see Archie Gray come into midfield if that's the case. I wouldn't want to see Connor playing over Archie in the next game, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I love him. Before I get into my take on him, though, Jay, Connor Roberts done enough to keep a starting spot?
I think so. Like, I love the guy. I think he's great. The only thing against Connor Roberts is that Archie Gray could be playing there, and that's the only thing against him for me. If Archie's not going to play, if he's not at right back, i.e. whoever's in midfield, it's not him, then I kind of still want him to play. But maybe at this point, there's some wisdom in bringing Archie on in midfield as a sub for a few games and just letting him recuperate a bit, because Roberts has been great. And he's out there and you see him and he's talking, he's organising, and he knows how to start an attack. He's a bloody brilliant attacking fullback. I'd like to keep him, me.
And I think he's at 3 assists and a goal now.
Something like that, yeah. He seems to get
the assist. No, sorry, he didn't get the assist last night, did he? Russell got the assist last night.
I mean, if you can pass that as an assist.
I mean, Dan James has made it himself.
Dan James assisted himself, didn't he? I mean, let's be honest.
He's probably been awarded it. But no, it won't. So I think that's 2 assists and a goal that he's got since he came in. And that's not very many minutes.
He's direct and he's quick and he gets the ball moving and he sort of drags everyone around him up and talks.
Do you know what I've compared him to?
I love it, mate. I think he's great.
Do you know what I compare him to? I compare him to what Ayling did for us in the promotion season. When, you know, he came in field, he was almost an inverted fullback, and also got back and did his defensive work really, really well. But he's almost got better legs than Ayling, dare I say, because he's a bit quicker, he's a little bit more intelligent. He's probably not as good in the air, but, I mean, he's very much that mould of a player for me. But Joe Bedford makes a great point here on how, and again, it goes back to dropping Kamara, but it's about a bit more rotation for me. Kamara's in the top 1% of Championship midfielders for completed passes with 93.4%.
Jesus Christ.
He's the third highest pass completion percentage of any midfielder to complete 500 passes in the division. That's unbelievable.
It is.
I'm talking about letting a 17-year-old take his place because I think he's looking leggy.
If you think about it, it's incredible that he's the replacement for Forshaw, effectively. He does everything Forshaw could do and so much more, because he does that thing Forshaw did as well.
And he's got two knees and two hips.
The one thing Forshaw was great at was that thing where he could make space for himself. Even with people on him, he'd turn and he'd come out of it and he'd make a pass. And Kamara does all that. and so much more. It's such an upgrade.
It does.
We've stepped forward massively.
So I do agree with that, and it's very, very difficult to argue against what Joe's just put in there. And the my only reticence is I thought that last night we didn't really have a cutting edge in midfield. So completing your passes and getting through your passes, looking after the ball is really important, especially in the tight game. I think Archie just offers that bit more incisiveness and that bit more capability to beat a man and then pick out a pass over Kamara in the middle.
In fairness, Kamara was really unlucky not to get an assist last night because he did all the hard work and put it through to Dan James, who should have been buried with his left foot. Yeah. But I know what you're saying, and I think the difference probably you would get between Archie and Kamara is Archie will misplace probably more passes, but he will also drive forward with the ball, and he will also take a shot on as well. He's not scared to have a pop. Yeah. I know he's not scored for us officially yet, but he's almost... I see sort of Kamara as more of an eight, but I see Archie is a little bit slightly further forward, ideally for him, and I think he's got that little bit more confidence about him. But look, you can't complain having either of them. Look, we're in a fantastic position in the league. We're in a fantastic place in terms of, you know, the squad we've got to be able to be rotated between. Who would have dreamt that actually Gruevan and Kamara would become our favoured, well, our starting central midfielders at the start of the season when Ampadu and Gray were playing?
Absolutely, you know what I mean?
It's bonkers.
Yeah,
bonkers.
The thing is, like, if you'd have said to me at the start of the season that we're going to end up on a 10-game, 11-game unbeaten run, we're going to win 9 games in a row, and we're not going to have Ampadu or Gray in midfield for any of that, I'd have put that in shit take of the week.
Ampadu?
I called him Ampadu last time and got slated for that, so I'll just keep mixing
that's him.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I call him. This someone guy, went, who? Probably Gilly. Just winding me up.
He definitely won me.
Probably me.
Do.
Get fucked.
Loves to drink Mountain Dew.
That's fair. So just before we move off the game, I just wanted to pop up something that did surprise me a little bit. I know that we said we were better in the first half than the second half. What I didn't expect was them to have actually dominated the ball and the attack momentum, not just possession, but attack momentum. Obviously, that changed at the red card. But overall, they had... And if you look at the momentum in the first half, it really does bear out what we were saying. And we scored when we were clearly well on top. I didn't think it was that much, because the attack momentum is actually where they have possession as well. It's not just about having the ball, it's also about where you have possession, well. And it looks at the field position. I was a bit surprised at that, because although they had more of the ball in the second half, I still didn't think they hurt us. I had the same fears that you've talked about, Jay, but that's purely because it felt like we were going to be leadsy about it and concede a stupid goal having dominated. Yeah,
it's how we conditioned.
Sorry,
I've just turned
the comment off, I didn't mean to.
It's all right, mate, don't worry.
Coming off the back of the Premier League season that we had, plus the Wigan fixture before, the Derby fixture before, you know, that's where we've just been burnt in the past, isn't it? And it's just that cynical side of being a Leeds fan, that you expect it to go wrong. We've conceded 3 goals since the turn of the year in the league, and we still expect to concede. It is mental, it just is.
And people don't want to change centre backs.
And as you pointed out, Luke, as you pointed out, Luke, 31 points in 33. It's just an insane run. What's even more insane is that we're now clear at the top of the league, having been on such an insane run. It's really quite disgusting. So, those were the points I wanted to raise. Was there anything else that we've not discussed as part of the game? Red card, fairly straightforward. It was nailed on because that's what he does against us. He gets sent off.
Has he been sent off about 3 times against us?
Three times now.
Yeah. Was it Preston? Was it Preston? Was it Preston? I think it was Preston. Was it Preston twice and then one, and then once for these now? I'm not sure.
I couldn't remember. I thought we were only once for Preston and once somewhere else, but I wouldn't want to stake my reputation on it.
No, it's just He's just an horrible little shit, isn't he? Like, do you know what I mean? Yes. He's just one of them when footballers who was brought on to mix it up and try and do what Huddersfield did against us, really, I suppose, but on his own. And unfortunately, wasn't as effective. Do you know what? He looked quite tidy when he had the ball as well. He was making things. He was pulling a few strings for him, and I was a little bit. This was probably at the showing that. That craft that you're showing, this was probably when he'd come on the pitch, actually, in honesty. He was starting to make things happen, and we were under the cosh at that stage.
Joe, it did.
So he came on 54th minute, and I'll just pop it back up again. You can see that we'd just had the edge. Only just had the edge before that, and about that time, they did dominate.
Yeah.
So it just makes it even more stupid that he went and did what he did. The knob edge.
What is it with people throwing elbows recently? What's all that about? I mean, it's fucking mad, that.
I think they do anything to try and rough our players up, don't they? Because they know they can't play football against them. So,
but, like, for me, it's like...
To be fair, when I were playing centre-back and I were 34 instead of being 24 and being quick, that's exactly what I were doing against
the 25-year-old. I get that.
And elbows in the back of head.
I get that.
But you are right. It's like a very different level.
You could really hurt someone, like, you could really fuck them up with that. You could, like, shatter someone's eye socket.
If they're not on your team, they don't care. I mean, he's got a three-match ban now, but one thing I would like to say was on the... I listened to it on the radio, and their commentary team was really, really fair. They were saying they were... Other than the...
Is that special international radio you were listening
to
it on?
Yeah.
Right.
And other than when they thought Bamford was miles offside when he took that shot across goal, which he wasn't, it was miles onside, by the way. They were really, really fair. It was a lady called Joan or Jolene or something. I forget her name. Apologies, but it was Stoke FM commentary team, and they were really, really fair. And they said, look, they were like, Why has he done that? He's ruined it. He's got 3-game match ban now. And they were like, what, don't have him on the pitch. Leave him on the bench. Like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Really, you can't only get one, won't he? Because it was a second yellow.
No, he got straight. Oh, good point. Oh, no, he's already accrued so many cards this season.
Oh, right, okay.
I think that was his 13th or 14th yellow of the season or something stupid.
Wow.
You'd be having a word, wouldn't you, as his manager? You'd be saying, listen, don't stop, like, getting stuck in, but... You need to start being careful, man.
That's probably why he's a sub.
Probably, yeah. Can't rely on the he
did play positively while he were on the pitch, so maybe that's it. Fair enough.
Just before you move on, Gilly, this is a real shame. This is a real shame.
Are you hitting both? Can they both lose?
I'll be digging some receipts out later on, I'm telling you, if it stays like that.
I'll tell you what, they'll have no left for that game because they gave their all in the cup final.
It's always the case, isn't it? So, for anybody that's listening, Luke just popped up a comment that said that Dan were getting beat off Cardiff, which is a real shame.
I'll
tell you what else is a real, real shame is I was feeling really positive about everything. You know, I'm looking at the other results coming in as I'm leaving the game last night. Yeah, all right, Leicester have picked up 3 points, but you know what? It's fine because they're on a poor run. They've only won by the odd goal, and Ipswich are losing. And then Ipswich were drawing, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, I've Pox to draw. And then you're halfway to Car, and it's you can hear it in the people around you. Oh, for fuck's sake!
I got to Peacock just in time to see him miss the penalty on the screen. I thought, fuck yes, they fucked it. It's just a point. That's it. And then they somehow do it, don't they?
Do you know what it is like? We've got to give props to Ipswich. How many times? I wish they'd fuck off. Don't get me wrong. Like, do not read this incorrectly. But how many times have we said they're a League One outfit that have come up? They've hardly spent any money, you know, and they're bound to drop off. I've said it since before Christmas. I've said it every other week since. Do you know what I mean? And they haven't. And credit to them. Look, when the games are scrappy, they find ways to win and even pull back and tune it from 2-0 down and get draws and stuff. So they deserve every ounce of merit and credit for where they are.
It's annoying because the way they're scrapping, you feel like it's got to stop soon. They can't keep getting away with it, but they do.
And the number of goals they concede, late goals that they're scoring to get the point. But they keep doing it.
Yeah, on the balance of probability, you would expect them to actually lose one of these games because where they're going to concede one late on rather than score one late on. But they've shown some bollocks. Fair play to them.
Yeah, Absolutely.
If they they don't go up, do you think they could boss the league next year, or do you think this is the one and only shot?
I think they go up.
Do this.
I think they go up. I think they'll either get automatic, or if they don't, they'll win the playoffs.
I think we get automatic still. I don't think they do.
Unless to answer the question, I think you were coming at there, Jay, is I think a lot of that depends on the coach, because he's done such a good job to get them up and then take them to that next level. If somebody poaches him, then they probably won't be able to get somebody in that can replicate what he's done. Because he has done well. But
sometimes it's just the right people in the right group and the right situation, isn't it? And you can't replicate it once it's gone.
Yeah, that's it. So without some serious investment, I don't think they'll be able to. But it's all ifs, buts, and maybes. But you are right to call them out, because they've had a cracking season so far, and all of us said, "Yeah, well, that's not going to continue," and they've just proved us all wrong. So, fair play to them. Just one thing that we didn't touch on that you mentioned, Luke, and then we never came back round to it, was the man of the match. So I think you've kind of given your impression on yours, Jay.
So my man of the match would have been their goalkeeper, but for us is Melier.
Yeah. Jay?
Probably Melier. I don't think anyone had an outstanding game. I think it was one of them sort of 7 out of 10s across the board sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Everyone were decent and did what they needed to, but yeah, I think probably Melier edges it on that basis.
Yeah, I agree. So
fucking hell. Write this time and date down, because we are all in agreement.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I said it leaving game last night that I thought it was Melier. He caught the ball. He made some cracking saves. You know, that save that we mentioned in first half that were a long range shot.
And the one at the very end as well to stay
really
focused.
Good. And yeah.
You know, go on, Jay.
That long range one, I was just going to ask at the time. Did any of you guys think it looked like for a split second they were going to leave it? Because I thought he did, and then he suddenly reacted.
No, so I was right up front at Cheese, and therefore I was dead in line with him, and he was stretching every sinew, and it looked like he was. So no, it happened so quickly.
To me, it looked for a split second he thought, that's going over, but then changed his mind. I don't know, it's just how it looked to me, but you know.
I think he got it late. I think there was a defender in front of him. It's gone through. He's seen it quite late, and he's had a great reaction save.
That might well be it.
And he's hit it early as well, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
Because I could obviously see the ball set off before he could if he had a guy in front of him, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
just one thing before we move on from last night's game is, I mean, we're arguably going through our rough patch, or whatever you want to however you want to dress it up, but
with a 1-1 draw apparently, Luke.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I we're not playing that well, but if you can grind away, an away draw at a club, I think Farke said something similar in his presser before we played last night, that look, you can't underestimate a point away against a team in the relegation battle, and then to beat Stoke, they're all potential banana skins. If we can go into Wednesday, beat them, or do well against them, and then Millwall, we've got a big break before Millwall, and then we go into the international break. It gives us a bit of a time to reset. I think we'll be in good stead.
Yeah. When you look at how leggy we've been, we need this break. We just have to see it out till then. We just got to get done what we got to get done, and that Huddersfield thing, man, it's like, people are overlooking the fact that they've got a new coach and he's a good manager, and he's got a couple of results out of them since he came in. He's getting a tune out of them.
They
are on a bit of a high though at the moment, generally, and people are quick to just look at it and say, oh, it's Huddersfield, the shit, they had 10 men, and it just glosses over what's really happening, you know?
And I know we've really been focusing on, obviously, on the top four positions, but have you seen the state of the bottom of the league, and what the points
it's about madness. 7 of them on 38 in there.
It's absolute madness. It's the weirdest championship season of all time.
Chef Wednesday are currently bottom of that group of Pete, so Rotherham are gone. But just above them, Chef Wednesday are bottom of that group of clubs on 38, and Swansea are 15th on 42. There's three sides on 40, four sides on 38, and Birmingham in the middle on 39. It's just any of them could go down.
Live though? That's live, isn't it? That's as they're playing now.
It is. QPR have dropped one position, and Birmingham have gone up one position. But yeah, so it is mental so far. So Just to move us on a little bit. So I think from a perspective of the prediction, so it's been 3 weeks, and that's entirely on me. But we'll do a bit of this.
Auto no better predictions.
So we do have a recap to do on the Leicester game, on the Huddersfield game, and on the Stoke game. So we'll do Leicester first. And in this one, so Bren went 2-1 Leeds and got 1 point. Jay got himself 5 sweet points. Carl got himself 5 sweet points. Luke got a point. Smarty got a point. The fans got 3 points. And I got a point. And that left the table at the end of the Leicester game. Fans on 26 points. Carl on 33. Luke on 35. Jay on 39, joint with Bren in third place. Smarty on 40 and myself on 42. Fast forward to the Huddersfield game. It won't surprise you to find that nobody got a point. So we'll skip straight over that and we come to the Stoke game. Bren went 2-0 Leeds. Jay went 2-0 Leeds. Kyle went 3-1 Leeds. Smarty went 3-0 Leeds. Fans went 3-1 Leeds and I went 3-1 Leeds. We all got 1 point. I've left one out there. Luke got 3 points by virtue of his 2-1 Leeds prediction.
Unbelievable.
Which means we now have fans on 27, Carl on 34, Luke on 38, Jay on 40, Bren on 40, Smarty on 41, and me on 43, which means the top 5 places all have one result between them.
It's like the championship.
I was going to say, it's like the top of championship, bottom of championship for
that matter. You've been reeled in a bit, Gilly.
I have. I've come
from nowhere.
It's about time we paused it.
I've had about 4 correct results out of the last 10 games.
The wheels are falling off my season.
I was second, so not long ago. I must have been absolutely appalling with my predictions recently.
It should have been.
Smarty got
as well, so I'm mad.
Smarty got lots of points in a very short space of time, and he came from nowhere. We're all within 5 points, other than Carl, who's pretty much written off this season. to be fair, he got 5 points in the Leicester game. If he gets another 5 points, he's right in the mix.
Let's give up as
I think from a perspective of the predictions, we'll pick up the next game's predictions towards the end. So moving us on again. So I just wanted to bring in a bit of Bren.
Hey, oh, has got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
We could probably have spent all night talking about it, in all honesty. I've bookmarked a few, so I've taken a couple of comments. So the first one was a Town fan. I said that Hogg was lucky to get a second yellow and not a straight red. And the response to my comment saying that was, are you serious? Leeds spent more time on frigging floor just to get stuff. You was a joke. And if you look down the timeline, she was genuine. She honestly thought that we were in the Town game, which was a thing. That was a thing. And then we've got a bunch more here. So we had one that said that Archie was fucking wank and isn't a superstar. We had one guy that, I don't know if you saw any of this, but we had one guy from the Leeds fan base responded to Russell Crowe and said, such a massive Leeds fan. He put his money into Wrexham, not the 49ers, and he got himself a response from Russell. I don't know if everybody knew this because I didn't know it, but Russell's got a little bit of skin in the game through the 49ers, so he does have a tiny sliver of the club. The next one was Baron Cross has written about it. Stephen Schumacher on last night, in places like this, the refs can't wait to make decisions against you.
He got away with a fucking penalty. Piss
yeah.
Off.
That is an astounding take, that one. So I think, from my perspective, my favourite was the response to me about us diving against Town.
What's the 4 options? I'm going to pop them in a poll.
It was the one where we were diving against Town.
Flopping about, yeah.
Yeah, there was one that was Archer was fucking wank.
Where do you come up with that?
There was one that was addressing Russell Crowe and whether he'd invested in Wrexham or Leeds. And then there was Stokes Gaffer saying that the referee was on our side.
I actually saw something else that sort of qualifies. It's a bit mild compared to them. But there was somebody saying, what the fuck were Victor Orta and Jesse Marsh thinking when they sold Leif Davis? You know, as if he were the player he is now at that point. And like there weren't like two players ahead of him in the team at least. And he wouldn't be what he is now if he'd stayed, because he wasn't going to be.
Oh, no, because he won't get it. Yeah, he won't get in the minutes, won't he? It was Schumacher last night, the Stoke gaffer, saying that we got all the decisions.
But yeah, Davis didn't have a future at Leeds. He wasn't getting a look in. He was kind of like, it was someone that clearly had some potential, but he were never going to realise it with bit parts in games and being like a third or fourth choice. It's a weird take. Yeah. It's not like he's the player he is now and then we sold him. You know, like, oh, we need a left back, but let's get rid of this kid who gets loads of assists. He want that guy. We didn't know if you were going to be that guy.
Yeah, I agree. So, with that, you're doing a poll, Luke?
Yeah, it's live.
Right, so everybody go and we'll revisit what that looks like at the end of the pod.
Just a note, just for people watching on X, you probably won't see the poll. It'll be on YouTube if you want to vote.
Yeah, so come and watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Thank you very much, guys. I just wanted to spend a little bit of time now just talking about something that we're doing for Andy's Man Club. So we'll come on to a couple of events that they've got lined up. But on the 23rd of this month, a select group of OKB individuals and members of the actual Leeds-based Andy's Man Club organisation will be doing a mural walk. So we are yet to 100% fully finalise the route. And there is a bit of... to and fro around how many murals we can take in without without killing ourselves and ending up injured and walking wounded. But we try to take in as many as we can, and we are going to be joined by one or two of the artists of some of them, which is nice. So we are going to be walking around Leeds through various different areas of districts of Leeds around some of those amazing murals that are there. And we are doing so to do some fundraising on behalf of Andy's Man Club. So we'll put the link out on our socials again. Thank you for everybody that has been on a dickhead. Thank you for everybody that has donated so far. Thank you for everybody.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Everybody that's shared and supported, it does mean a lot. And it is a big deal that people know that they can go somewhere and they can talk and they can share. And just know that it's okay to not be okay all the time, and it's okay to talk. So it's a pretty big deal, and it's something that I think we all feel pretty strongly about. So thank you, everybody, for your support on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. In terms of next steps, so I think from a viewpoint of looking forwards.
see what Joe's doing here.
Just well the said, guys. Yeah. Move
she's
along.
She's saying she's not sure why people are voting for Archie being shit as a shit take. He is his worst player in the old AFL. Move on. Don't look at him. Leave him alone.
Yep, that is fair.
Avanti.
Oh.
Peter Kay, innit?
Yeah.
Avanti.
I think from a viewpoint of, I just wanted to talk about some news that's come out tonight as well. So Graham had shared something that was associated, Graham Smith, that is, from the Evening Post, had shared something about an EFL finding or an EFL update from a Leicester case where they'd been looking at. So in essence, I don't know, have you guys spent any time looking at this? Or do you want me to give a bit of an update on my take?
I've just summarised it. I had a read through it. Like you say, it's a bit of a storm in a teacup. There's a lot of nothings in there. Do you know what I mean? There's not.
I had a quick read.
Yeah.
So in essence, because I think there's a lot of people going, right, the docking points right now. At this point in time, Leicester have not been found guilty of anything. As part of EFL legislation, clubs have to project whether they feel what they think that their monies are going to be come the end of June. So because of that, Leicester have followed that principle and have submitted what they think their financial position is going to be come the end of June, if nothing else changes. So if they don't sign any new deals, sell any players, do all of that sort of stuff. They are projected to fall foul of the profit and sustainability regulations. What that means is, if nothing changes, that they might be in breach of that legislation. They're likely to get promoted. There's going to be some prize money, regardless of where they're finishing the league. Even if they don't get promoted, they're going to get a bit of prize money, which wouldn't have been factored in because they've not had it yet. Mm. They're in a position where they will be able to sell a player or two, and it's going to be quite close by the sounds of it in terms of that. So, you know, they'll be in a position where they'll be able to bring in revenue should they need to bring in revenue. So it's all a bit of nothing. I think the biggest fallout from it is actually the EFL see that Leicester have exploited a loophole. And that loophole is, Leicester said that they didn't need to submit a business case as to how they're going to avoid the potential breach of profit and sustainability regulations. What Leicester have said is, we don't have to do what the EFL say because for a portion of this time period, we were in the Premier League. Yeah. And the EFL have gone, no, that's not true. You've got to do what we tell you to do. And Leicester have gone, fuck you, EFL. We're going to bring in these specialists and they're going to have a look at this. And the specialists have gone, Leicester are right and the EFL are wrong. So the EFL are going to change the rules.
Fucking hell, man.
So the EFL are going to speak to the Premier League and they're going to shore that up because they think it's a loophole in that people, clubs do not have to provide evidence as to how they're going to manage.
So if they do this, then if Everton go down, that means they'd be truly fucked because they'll get fucked by Premier League if they stay up, get fucked by EFL if they go down. That would be glorious.
In actual fact, all it will mean is that they would have to show how they're going to avoid the breach up front rather than just avoiding the breach by hook or by crook or by selling players or whatever else. So they would have to show that they have the business acumen to put a business case together that would avoid a breach in the profit and sustainability regulations. And Everton at the moment don't show any signs of having any business acumen at all. Because
I wouldn't have said so, no. It's one of them things, isn't it? It's quite bizarre how someone can make that much money in life and yet be so clueless.
But it really
when
is.
When people buy football clubs, you see it all the time, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right, I'm going to spin through some of the comments. So thank you for starring them as we've gone along, whoever did. I think it might have been a joint effort by both of you. Pod Dodger is along with us. Jump in if you've got any comments on any of these comments.
Yeah, no,
I'm getting fed up of saying we should have been 3-4 up at halftime. Just bloody score. I think that's a fair comment.
Shoot more.
Johnny has said, and I one really stuck out in my mind when Melier fell over last night when he was coming for the ball and then changed his mind and then he went nowhere. Johnny Brown says, have you noticed how many times players are slipping the last few home games? Are we watering the pitch too much?
I noticed that last night. There was one where we ended up on the back foot because one of the defenders slipped.
We want a fast pitch. So I can see why, but I've not. I noticed it as well last night. Actually, I think Dan James slipped a few times. Gruev as well, from memory. Yeah, it did look like we did slip more than often last night. Certainly at home. But I've noticed it for a few games. I think he's right. I think there might be something in that, Johnny.
But you are right. Say that we want a fast pitch because it suits our playing style, doesn't it? You know, we want the possession. Yeah. We want to zip the ball around, so it suits us. It just doesn't suit us if Melly is coming for a ball and then he's on his ass and somebody's just got a free header or whatever. So there is that. There's plus and minuses to it. Pod Dodger again. He gets in comments. He's always in comments.
But when you ask him to cover, he don't want to know. Might as well just come on.
Can't get him on the pod, but he likes one.
Can't get him on. He's loving it in the comments.
He says Archie needs to be back in the middle for Wednesday on Friday. We've got Paul Brennan in the comments as well. We all know what the officials do for Leeds. It's fuck all. The Dick Turpin is the head of the FA with a band of highwaymen. Fuck's
sake. Love that, Paul.
Pretty much sums it up, I think.
Yeah, I'll take that. This is something that we quickly spoke about before we came on air, but I haven't mentioned. So the Saints game has been postponed tonight. So there was a massive fire just outside St Mary's. So the Leicester game has been postponed because they're going to be playing Chelsea in the next round of the FA Cup. And tonight's game's been postponed. I've not fact-checked this. I think I saw somebody say that will result in there being 9 games in 30 days that they'll have to play?
8, wow. I think.
Is it 8 games eight in 30 days?
I think. And also, that's one of the potential windows to actually play one of those rescheduled games is 3 or 4 games before they play us, where we would have had on the last day of the season, whereas we would have had a full week's rest.
That's a hell of a run. Now, I don't know if you've looked at the actual lineups and the runs that the clubs have got. Ipswich need to play. So, you know, some of this is a bit difficult because Ipswich need to play a lot of the clubs that are in around the playoffs and the top four. We've played them twice already, obviously, but I think they're playing both Leicester and Southampton before the end of the season. So Ipswich, on the face of it, when you look at it, have got what you would think is the toughest running because they're playing against sides that, on average, are higher up the league than Saints, Leicester and Leeds. Ours is skewed completely the other way. We're playing the lowest placed, which a lot of people, a lot of in the media, should I say, not on social media, but actually in the media, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's Leeds is to lose them because they're playing sides that are, you know, objectively are worse, have had worse seasons. We're playing against sides that are scrapping for their lives. Ipswich are playing against sides that are going for promotion and playoffs. Actually, Leicester and Saints are playing against sides that are coasting towards the end of the season. Now, they're not going to get into playoffs, or it's very unlikely that they are, and by the time they play them, won't be, but they're definitely not in danger of relegation. So I think it's dangerous to get drawn into that because, you know, it's the top and the bottom. It's not just the sides that have had good seasons so far and then we'll walk it. As we've seen against Stoke last night, we didn't make it easy for ourselves. We saw against Town, we didn't make it easy ourselves. So I think it's dangerous to get drawn into that, but I did just want to mention that. But that will be a tough run for Southampton, just on the pure volume of games that they have.
Yeah, big time, and against top sides in the division.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've still got all three to play, Leicester, Ipswich and us to play.
And us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad that last game's at home.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember it, but it didn't go so well at St Mary's for us. Paul Brennan also says it would be interesting to know what the statistics are for all the tackles that Somerville gets. He gets whacked every match, for fuck's sake. I think that's true. I think it's also true of Ruta.
Oh, Ruta, big time. He gets nothing.
Do you know what?
I
said this in the chat, in our chat last night on WhatsApp, I think. And I said something along the lines of it would be nice to see them both find a bit of form at this stage of the season, or, you know, right now. But I don't think it's so much they're not in form. I just think teams have recognised that there are danger men. And if you watch them, there's 3 or 4 players around them every time they get the ball. And naturally, that should create gaps elsewhere. But the style of football we play, we don't switch the ball very often. We don't play left to right, right to left very often. Long balls over the top, you know, switches. Maybe that's something we might look to bring in with these, you know, these big gaps between games. And yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Square Ball that said it. It might have been, but they were saying Somerville, he seems to have stopped looking to just go when he gets the ball now and seems to be like holding it up, waiting for people to come at him to try and then get past them or pass it out. It's like he's lost a bit of his zing. You know what I mean? He's just, he's not on it like he was.
Zing.
His zing. Yeah, a bit of zing. You know, a bit of trickery and running quick off down wing, off he goes. Zing. You know? Yeah, you know. But he seems a bit off it. It's weird because you'll still get a 7 out of 10 out of him, but yeah, it looks.
And Rutter still got an assist yeah, yeah, last night. So, you know,
but he looks a little poor by his own standards because he can
absolutely
do more.
By their own standards that, you know, especially when they've been so impactful throughout the course of the season to sort of up until till now. I genuinely do think it's because teams have wised up and I wish Rutter would stop trying to do these little rainbow flicks in the middle of the field and losing it and stuff.
But I love it, mate, but not when he loses it.
No, not when he loses it, but it led to a goal last night and I hate he does it, right? But then he threads the ball through to Dan James who makes and scores the goal for himself. But yeah, I just wish he's so frustrating, and he's not a number 10, is he? So that, I mean, we've got to appreciate that it's the first time he's ever played in that sort of position, and he'll learn. I mean, he'll certainly learn if we do get promoted and he gets to play 10 for us in the Premier League. That's for sure, because we'll get punished for it. But but yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? You've got to take the rough with the smooth, because when he does it and it looks great and he leads to a goal, it's fantastic. When we lose possession, we're all absolutely infuriated. So
he's a special talent. He's one of them players that you can't take off, even when he's playing shit, because he still might do something.
Yeah. He's going to do something. Yeah absolutely. I agree with that. And just to touch on the point you've made there, Luke, I do agree he's not a 10 because that's not been his position. Longer term, I think it is his position. I think he's got the capability, and I think that's where he'll end up.
A lot to learn, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's fair. Next one. Skip says, this squad is good enough to get top two. Only thing that may hurt us would be complacency. Would Farker allow that, Jay?
I don't think so. I think the only thing that could hurt us is tired legs. I don't think there's going to be complacency in that side. Not with a manager that's been there, done that, and he knows what it takes. He'll know what needs doing and how to keep players mentally focused and stuff. I mean, you don't go and run like we have if you're complacent.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Luke, say any different?
No, I think he's too seasoned. He's a weathered old bloke, and he doesn't take no shit. And we've seen that the way he's managed a number of characters within the side, from Willie Nonto to Charlie Cresswell already this season. So yeah, I don't think he would allow complacency. If he felt there was any complacency, we've already discussed that we've got backup in almost every position for somebody to come in and do a job, even at striker now, which we thought we'd never say at the start of the season.
Yeah. Do you know what I like about his management style as well? He's shown that if you're off with him or you're not wanting to play or whatever, he'll stand up to you and he'll be firm with you. But if you're doing it on the pitch, he'll back you to the hilt, man, and he'll pick you if you're playing well. You won't just get dropped for nothing.
Yeah, I felt like you were my father then, telling me, like, give me a... he will back you. He will. He loves every last one of you. You know that.
Hey, is the guy you'd want leading you out the trenches, mate?
In the Yorkshire Under 10s Cup final.
bit of a bad flashback that, were you triggered?
Yeah, eating oranges on the sideline at half time, losing 2-0.
Before game, I'll back you. I'll back you. When you lose, he's like, don't speak to me.
I think I would just try to remember who it was. I think it might have been Firpo. Did he throw a water bottle? He got subbed off, and I think he threw a water bottle. And I think the way that Farker handled that was different to how other managers might have reacted. In as much as, well, he dealt with it and it was done, you know. And he were open. He said, "Yeah, there was some frustration, but do you know what? I want the players to be frustrated if I'm bringing him off because he's not done the job."
You're right.
I don't want him to be happy about the fact he's getting subbed off and whatever else. So I like the way he handled that as well. And I think that's part of, you know, he has been here at this level. He's done this before. He's been here before.
I like that from Firpo, though, as well. It shows, you know, it shows passion. And we love a bit of passion.
Fashion merchants.
I want to see the players give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Roland just mentions a pom-pom on my hat. So just in case anybody missed it at the start, I am getting the badge in, but I don't want people to be scared. So I'm going for a cuddly look as well, along with it.
He'll punch you, but he'll lower you to the floor really gently. That's it.
He'll look after you. He'll ring you an ambulance after.
Unless you put your little pillow on curb and all that.
Put your recovery position.
Michael Gott says, this is what you get with different organisations in charge of a sport. It's pathetic. I think that's EFL versus Premier League, isn't
it? It was, yeah. That's what he commented that.
Absolutely fair comment. Paul Brennan again. EFL are clamping down so they will book gunning for clubs who don't have their houses in order. Just hope Leeds United's books are correct and in order. 49ers seem to be doing things correctly. I think the worst bit about that actually is it's not the 49ers, is it? Because that period that we're looking at is not when they were in charge for large majority of it. Having said that, you know, we spoke to Kieran from The Price of Football. The books have been released. I think the reaction to it was that things could, you know, we've got a lot of players out on loan. There has been large outlay on some of those players. But we've also brought significant sums in through those periods as well. You look at the sale of Rafinha, Calvin, even the rats that went to Bournemouth that we got good money in for. So I think my take on that is that I'm not particularly worried about that time period. But we'll know when we know.
yeah, that's it. I think he said we're a well-run club, didn't they? There were money to spend and stuff.
I've just been thinking, would you fight Daniel Farke? Like, if you heard him on the phone, if he rung you up and says, I'm going to fucking come and... I'm not going to do
that. That sounded like one of locals.
I'll fucking kill your fucking heading. But if you heard him on the phone, fucking bring it, mate. And then he turns up and he looks pretty hard. He looks a bit like a Klingon of Star Trek, doesn't he? Like, you wouldn't actually
pick
a
fight, I guess,
with somebody like that.
He's like quiet and unassuming, but he'll have some moves, you know, he'll just fucking be like the Matrix.
There's a bit of steel to him.
Yeah, there is.
There's a steel to him. He played up front and he went, you know, he's a big guy. So, but if I'd only ever heard him, might fancy me chances.
You would in that Stoney, wouldn't you?
When he pitched up, I might have gone. Oh, yeah, easy. I might even take my hat off. but no, when he turned up, you'd go, I'm not sure. and just the last comment is Scooby. I'm fed up of saying rotate. James stood out for a reason. He wasn't knackered.
He was the second half. He was absolutely fucked.
But there is probably something in that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
But I think from a conditions perspective, you know, it was a cold night. It's not been long since we had another game. So in terms of the turnaround and that sort of thing, it would have been quite difficult. So it's not 100% nailed on that's it, but I think it is fair to say that we needed some of that rotation that we saw, and that we're likely to see a bit more of that. You know, that once we get beyond Wednesday, we've got 9 days, and then there's the international break after the next game. That's a big deal there. That the squad can do a bit of work together, but can take a break from the games because it's just incessant.
I hope he gives them a couple of days off.
Yeah. And then the stoned priest says, a Leicester fan tweeted, Farke looked like a medieval blacksmith. You can see it, can't you?
You can imagine him, can't you? Just on like an old style film, just making new fucking horseshoes and that, just hitting, and then looking up at you like growling.
Studying background in Game of Thrones, making sword.
Yeah.
Cool. We've got through the... we've got through the comments there. So thank you, everybody, for your comments. Keep up coming in because it does allow us a little bit more of elements to focus on and to talk about. So it's a big deal and we do appreciate them. So just to move us on then. Go on, you can read it out, Luke.
Leicester got hammered. Farke is a blacksmith. Yay!
He's a fucking magician. Don't know about a blacksmith.
In terms of looking forward then, so we are in a position where we have a quick turnaround again. So come Friday night, we are in Sheffield. We're playing against Sheffield Wednesday, and it's as I say, you know, it's 3 days, and then we've got another game again. Luke, we kind of touched on it very early on in the pod, but in terms of the lineup and the changes that we're expecting and the expected lineup, I think we will see some. But what changes do you think we're going to see?
I'd be very surprised to see wholesale changes. I thought Byram did really well. I think the only change I would be looking at is giving Kamara a bit of a rest and potentially bringing in Archie. I think that's maybe why I rested him in the last game as well. So yeah, I think we probably only see one change for me. I think it's Archie in for Kamara.
Okay, Jay, would you go with that?
I would make two changes. I think he probably sees this as a harder game than Stoke. No disrespect to Stoke, but I think it probably will be a more intense battle than that would be. So I would probably put Archie in, like Luke would for Kamara, but I would also possibly put Nonto in for Somerville and bring him on late, just because he looks like he could do with a rest, man.
Oh, we're going to ask that, because I didn't have Nonto in my predicted starting lineup. I got the Gray one wrong. I predicted that Gray would start and he didn't, but I didn't have Nonto in. But I did say that actually that's quite harsh, because I think if you look over the time that we've had, when Dan James was injured and Nonto came into the side, he was playing well, he was scoring goals, then he's the one that's dropped back out again, because Jimmy's been so good this season. It's almost like he's played himself into an undroppable state. Jay, that's you it. Said about Rutter that he's got that, for want of another term, he's got that X factor. He's got that ability.
Je ne sais quoi.
He's got that ability to pull something
that
out.
Reminds me of that twat on that advert, though. Remember the advert? Remember the advert with
him? It rings a bell. It rings a bell.
With him. He used to say it, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Was it Stella?
It was.
Yeah.
Paul Weller.
He's got that ability to pull something out of nothing, hasn't he? So I think, you know, the season Somerville's had, still our top scorer by some distance, isn't he? The way that Rutter's played and the good chances he's created out of that, frustrating at times, but sometimes impactful. Turning, Cruyffing, doing whatever he's doing on the halfway line. If it comes off, it goes well. So I think it does make it difficult. But Dan James, for me, is the one that is most impactful at over the course of the last 15 games he's played. He's had impact in every game. I think if we look at Somerville, his impact has waned, and it could be, you know, we were told before the Chelsea game that he'd rolled his ankle and it was swollen. It could be that he's carrying a knock and he does need that rest. Willie Nonto came on and looked sharp. Joseph came on and he looked sharp. I think you are right, Luke. And so, again, something that Graham said is there's enough minutes for both Bamford and Joseph to get in that nine position with them, you know, one starting and one coming on. I don't think it's the worst thought in the world to potentially drop Somerville to the bench for this one and start with Nonto and James.
I think so.
Who knows? But I would agree with Gray in the middle. And I think you're right, Luke. I think that's potentially why he would have started on the bench for last night.
Yeah. Go on.
We need his energy.
Yeah, Michael Gotts asked a great question here, and I sort of covered my thoughts on it. I don't know what you two think about. Whilst you say there's enough minutes, do you think this is the stage of a season and a potential promotion race to be given some? And look, he took his chance at Chelsea. He looked really, really handy when he came on last night. I'm not suggesting by any means that he's not a good player and he hasn't deserved a start. I'm just thinking more around man management. I think Farker's managed him really well, giving him opportunities, but to become reliant on him when he's got such little experience and expect him to do the same against, you know, players, let's be honest, players that are going to kick him about quite a bit as well from the first whistle, I think is probably a little bit too premature to start seeing him starting these sort of games. I don't know.
I agree with you, mate.
I do. We all three of us agreeing again. This is unnatural.
Bizarre, isn't it?
Fucking hell, I thought Carl were here as well then.
Wait till we have a few beers after the game and we can all disagree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think for me, Bamford starts, and a lot of that comes from the experience that he's got. You know, he's been at this level, he's played for us at this level, and he's got promoted. And I think that the weight of expectation on the nine, probably more than any other one position other than the keeper, where if a keeper makes one mistake, they've scored and they get the pelters. I think I would start with Bamford, but the one thing I would say is Joseph's definitely knocking on the door, and you're right. He came in for Chelsea. He took his chance well. He looked really sharp last night. He was unlucky. I think he flashed one past the post, didn't he? I think he was a bit unlucky on the turn.
Not
to finish that off. So, you know, and it's great to have that option. I think, obviously, there's always a caveat to say, well, there's a potential, actually, that we'll be in a position where we'll make changes because we're forced to. You know, if somebody's not trained or whatever else, that we're not party to. But I think you are right. It won't be wholesale changes. It might be one or two. We might see Firpo come back in for Byron because he's not as solid at the back, but he offers, you know, he's got assists when he's played as Firpo, hasn't he? And he offers that going forward. I don't think Byron did anything wrong by any stretch. But for me, I think there's a bit of a question mark there because he clearly rates Firpo and will be getting forward a lot in this game. It depends on whether he wants it to be a little bit more solid at the back or carry a bit more impetus from the fullbacks going forward for me. But other than that, I think it'll be as you were.
Just to refresh your memories, when we played him at home, Jed Spence made a goal-saving challenge.
He did.
I remember that, yeah. The only good thing he did in a league shirt.
That was the only thing he did in the Leeds for sure.
He came on for 10 minutes, didn't he? And we all went, whoa! And then when he immediately injured after that, and we didn't see him again for weeks.
We thought he was going to be amazing. And then he was just shitting a bad attitude. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then he played up left. And then we sacked him off. And then he played on left. And then he had an issue about playing on the left. We sacked him off because he turned up late to all of the training sessions and team meetings.
He turned up late to the meeting when
they were sending him back. And then he joined his new team, who played him on the left.
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
And he's getting limited minutes there, by the way. Do you know what?
It's because he's crap and his attitude's terrible. It's annoying. I'd give hope for that ability. To play football like that, and you know, and some guys just don't
care. I'd give up for that hair.
I think that specific hair would look a bit weird on you, but you know,
I think so, and
all of that.
Don't judge, man.
Just before we diverge too much, Gilly, away from what we were saying, can I just ask you guys, do you think that Joseph is...
That's me, but it looks like Luke's gone.
He's bugging off, isn't he? He's probably on TalkSport again. Do you think Joseph is now the go-to if Bamford's been subbed rather than Pirro? Do you think Pirro's restricted now to being subbed on in the 10? Or do you think it's still up in the air?
For me, it would be Joseph up front.
Well, we saw.
See, I think that.
We played two up top, didn't we, the other day?
We did, yeah.
And Pirro and... Was it Pirro and Bamford played next to each other, I think, for a short while in Huddersfield, didn't they?
Yeah.
So no, I don't think.
Yeah, but it was a bit weird, wasn't it? Because we had three up front, and then we had three wingers on as well. So all bets were off at that point.
It was his Hail Mary, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I love when he just goes fucking shit.
Get them all on. It was like when Southgate were at Borough and he just put six strikers on because they were chasing a goal.
And now he plays the most defensive football you could ever wish for with the most attacking squad you could have.
Seven defenders against Wales.
But no, I don't think we are restricted. I think we've got lots of different options, which is quite nice.
Imagine saying this a couple of seasons ago, though, when we had no midfielders, we didn't buy anyone. And if we wanted to take someone out of the team, it meant scratching around in dirt and either putting a child in or putting a square peg in a round hole. And now we have players that can come in, we can switch out first team players, and we've got confidence in the guys coming in. I think that's amazing. Like, we've stepped forward so far. We might have got relegated, we might have gone down, we might be rebuilding, starting again. We're in a better position as a club than we've been for years.
I'm going to give a little bit of kudos to Luke here, and I don't like doing that at all.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The after.
When we when we were getting, you know, when we were a bit of a punch bag for the league at times through last season, Luke actually spoke at that point in time and said, do you know what? It could be a good reset to go down. And I said, there are no positives in relegation. There are none.
Oh, I said, you know what? I couldn't comprehend it.
Yeah. And you know, my worry was we were going to end up in a situation where we saw all of the rats leaving the sinking ship and we didn't know who the gaffer was going to be and we didn't know just how well he was going to do. And it was a fear-based position there. But yeah, I think it's that is, you know, from a position of last season to this, it shows how far we've come.
It does.
And that's down to Farker and the lads.
And we've got players who want to be here now. Do you know?
But yeah.
All these players that left at that stage, at the end of the season, knew they had that option. They had nothing to lose.
And we didn't know that they had that option.
We didn't know that at the time.
They'd have really got it from the crowd if we'd known that.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I completely agree. I think we've got people here who want to be here, and it shows, you know, just having that camaraderie. And you can see it. You saw Roden walk off the field yesterday and say, they're not all easy. It's not always going to be. It's not. What did he say? It's not always.
Not always going to be nice, was it? Something like that.
Not always nice. It's not always. Yeah. Not always. Yeah. Not always.
Not
always
going to be nice or something like that.
Yeah. But that sort of thing, and then seeing him, you know, we've got the new version of McKennie's mate in Rodon's brother, and it's just a much better experience. Like,
he's not a cock, is he?
No, he's not, that's
the main difference.
Well, he might be. We don't know him really that well. But no,
and he's taller than 3 foot.
Yeah. And he's not American. No offense, Americans.
Oh, Jesus. You know what? Like when we
were all going so well, Luke.
I know. When we went down, it were my fear was just another 16 years, and it felt a lot like, you know, when we went down the first time and like we had to put a squad together. We didn't know who were going to be at the club, who were going to be left, no manager. It felt a bit like that, and that's why I was so scared of getting relegated. I just didn't see that it could be a positive, yeah. But it's surpassed anything I expected this season.
Hey, even if we don't go up, for all of us,
it's not, mate. It's not, but. Even if we don't go up, it's surpassed everything I expected when we got relegated. Yeah. On that day we went down, I thought we were fucked. I really did.
Yeah, especially if you look at the, you know, 4 or 5 weeks away from the start of the closure of the transfer window, and you're looking at the squad and you're thinking, what the fuck is that?
Every fucker wants to leave and there's no one come in. And you're like, Jesus.
Yeah. So, was somebody else saying something else then?
No.
I was just going to say, because the 49ers are so quiet, we had no idea what was going on. But, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that had been levelled against the prior ownership was, will you just shut the fuck up? But then when the 49ers shut the fuck up, we were all like, will you just tell us what's going on?
Give us something.
But to be fair, every time the previous owner tweeted, they were on his pipe and fucking drunk, weren't he? So, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. So just to come back round to a couple of Wednesday comments, Paul Brendan says, Barry Bannon could be missing for Chef Wednesday. Nice. He's their star man, makes them tick, hopefully he's out. Tricky match, come on Leeds, keep fighting. And the Stone Priest points out there's no Pervader for Wendy's either.
They love him, apparently.
A big deal for them.
Yeah, he's been getting really well. Though.
He's been playing well.
Apparently he's made the difference for them.
And then just one other comment. Joe Bedford says, totally off topic, but I hope they try more of those choreographed free kicks we tried in the game yesterday. I'll be honest, that completely passed me by. I don't know what she's referring to.
It'll be the one when Dan James took it and he played it in low straight to Bamford's feet and Bamford tried to turn and shoot.
Right.
It were a good idea.
Fairs?
We ain't seen much creativity in set pieces for the last probably 5 years, have we?
Dan James has been unlucky with a couple recently.
Rattled the post in the bar, didn't he?
Did, yeah. So
scored.
So just one last thing to do. And I'm gonna have to go first by virtue. Oh, fucking hell. I'm at the end of my second pint and I can't speak already, which does not bode well for for the rest of this. But we'll do a little bit of this.
Otter no better predictions.
First one in the comments, getting the fans.
By virtue of being top of the league, I will go first for us. So I am going to stick with my usual because, it did let me down because I moved away from it and then we beat Leicester 3-1. So I'm going to go 3-1. Luke?
Jay's above me, isn't he? No?
No, you're above.
Of course I am. You're only 5'7".
Actually, no. Jay is above you. Jay's on 40 points.
What did you go
third place, and then Luke's on 30. Yeah, I went 3-1.
Oh, fucking hell. I'd probably have gone something like that.
What, you'd actually given a score, believe it or wow?
I'm going to go 4-1.
What the fuck? Oh, my goodness me.
Luke?
2-0 leads.
We did have a pod dodger in the chat, didn't we? Have we?
I don't think he's gone now. Paul Brennan was the first from the fans. 2-1. Paul Brennan.
2-1. Yeah. Two, one. Right, and I'll get the rest from the other guys.
The good old days. Did you guys call it Cuppy? Or did you call it Wembley?
It was Cuppy for us, but Wembley and World Cup, I've seen. But it was Cuppy for us. And it was Cuppy Dubs, actually, was my favourite game, because that was, you know, if there was six, team if there were seven or nine or whatever, one went in net, and then, you had one teammate. Yeah. So, yeah,
we Cuppy Dubs. Should stick a poll for that on our Twitter. What did you call Cuppy? If you like the bread cake scenario.
But that introduces us very nicely. Can we just have a look at is it results or is it the live score as it stands of the poll that we put live while we're on?
Yeah.
So I'd forgotten he'd done a poll.
Accidental genius, Jay.
I think so was Luke by the looks of it.
And yeah, Stoke's blind gaffer was the outright winner with 60%, basically.
Bad.
I actually, my favourite was the Russell Crowe. I love it when I love that sort of petty when he says, actually,
yeah.
You're wrong. I love it when people get proven wrong.
When it makes them look a right dickhead.
Yeah. He's probably a really nice guy, to be fair, but he deserves it.
I reckon
it,
he is. So, yeah.
But yeah, you don't try. Yeah. You don't, are you not entertained? You know what I mean? You don't go for Maximus Decimus Meridius and come out smelling the roses, do you? Let's be honest. but yeah. Wicked, yeah. So Stoke's blind gaffer is the outright massive winner on the poll this week.
Cool, thank you very much. And just as a final one, Carl has gone 2-1 lead. Picked him up. cool. So the very last thing to mention we've already mentioned the AMC walk. Thank you again for everybody that supported us in that. The last thing to mention is Andy's Man Club Leeds in March has on the Friday the 22nd. There's a pool night at Northern Snooker that starts at 6:30, and they'll be on the tables upstairs. They do have some small donations to the tables, but it's not essential. So if you find yourself brassic, but you want to go along and have a game of pool and speak to some lovely, lovely people, then get yourself along. And on Sunday the 24th at Barber Club at W2 Barbers on East Dudley Road from 11 till 3, come down, get your hair cut, have a chat with all proceeds going to AMC. And there's more events coming in April.
That's it. Even if you just want to get out of the house and you want to see something different at the same four walls, just get yourself along.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a good bunch of people in the comments tonight. Anybody that's not already subscribed, if you can, smash that like.
Smash it.
Subscribe to us, because the more likes we get, the more subscribers we get, the more likely we are to end up in people's results when they're looking for some content. So it helps us.
That keeps
us going, and we'll bring you more of this bullshit where we just sit and give each other shit and talk football. So
who's on BNC? Do we know?
I've no idea, to be fair.
I think it's me, actually.
Do you know what? I hope it's not. I hope it's not me. I think I've done five in a row.
Jesus!
I think it's me and you, Gilly.
They'll be absolutely pig sick of me.
It is. It's me and you, Gilly.
Wow!
Right, Fez.
I am jumping on with Joe. If anyone wants to get a bit more lead feed as well, I'm jumping on with Joe in a bit. So I think he's starting
tonight.
He hasn't actually given me a time. He's just sent me a link. So I don't know if he's already live or what, but he's. Right. We're going to be talking about, I think the show's around Bamford or Joseph. A bit more on that.
Okay. All right. I might get in comments, give you some shit.
Yeah, fair enough. Have fun over there. And thanks again. Thanks a million for everybody getting involved in the chat. It does help us move things along. So, absolutely. Thank you to the pair of you for joining me on this fine evening. Marching on together, innit? See there.
See there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.